I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theater Story Podcast. I am your host, James Johnson, here with my lovely co-host, Ruth Goldstein.
Hey!
You can hear this and all previous episodes at nctheaterstories.com. That's theater spelled with an E-R, because that's how we roll. This week marks a first for us. Typically, we have focused our coverage on shows happening in and around Fayetteville, North Carolina. However, we are making attempts to expand our coverage. This week, we are doing reviews for shows out of Raleigh and Wilmington.
Yeah.
Also, we are ending the show with a quick interview that I did earlier in the week with Dan Shoemaker from the Actors Theater of Charlotte, who spoke to me about the theater's recent problem finding a new venue. But before we go into that, we will start with the reviews. This will be Ruth's first time actually doing a show review on our podcast.
I have reviewed shows before, guys.
She's insisting that she has because of her lack of understanding of the definition of a review, which...
I like how you're trying to, like, downgrade your own co-host.
Well, you're already co-host and I'm host, so technically... You're already
That's fine. You want to just use your title to boost your own self-esteem. That's totally fine. That's whatever. Good.
Well, she did a review of 1776.
Yes.
Where was it at?
This was at Thalian Hall in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Cool. This is a big venue. Was this your first time going there?
It was my first time being in the actual theater hall, or Thalian Hall.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
The show I ended up reviewing was Bat Boy the Musical at the Raleigh Little Theater. Now I'm gonna start going into that. Bat Boy the Musical is
baseball, right?
No, it is based on the fictional life of Bat Boy, a character first created, I guess, by the National Enquirer, one of those tabloids. Years ago was this big, it was a big hit for them. And for some reason, they decided, let's make this into a musical. And it's this young man who is, he's living in a cave when he's discovered. And he is, born deformed. He's got strange ears and strange,
He was born in a cave? Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So he is taken to live with a couple, who have a daughter of their own, and the couple is, they're in sort of a loveless marriage. The husband is sort of trying to sort of force things to work, and
so they adopted a deformed being they found in a
cave.
Nothing improves
your marriage.
A stretch. Like, props for that guy. Like, we'll try to save our marriage. I'm going to adopt this creature I found, and you give it love.
Right. Because that's what most therapists would recommend. Is you're having marital problems, bring
a
mutant
heyday
into your house.
Yeah, that family needs to be in counseling for sure.
Now, I should point out that when I had decided to do this review, I was unaware that this was a teen show. This was a show being performed by teens. Oftentimes theaters will do their teen shows during the summer, and we were, we were desperately trying to find what shows were going on this summer, and I found Bat Boy, and typically I would not do a review of a show with teenagers because, you know, they're teenagers. This is a show. This, if anything, is an opportunity to make a few mistakes and learn from it. It is, of course, a show while you're a teenager. With that said, I didn't really need to worry. Upon seeing the show, this show was they did a phenomenal job, and I don't care how old they were. They did a really, really great job.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
would you have known that they were teenagers, like, if you didn't know it was a teen show before seeing it?
Yes.
It's like children on stage. Yeah. Okay.
There are like some much younger teenagers in the show and the, sort of some smaller roles, but you know, they're very clearly not, there is a teenage girl who plays the mother of another teenage girl. So,
okay, cool. So you would know that that's not like, okay.
Right.
Gotcha.
But I will say that the performances in this show were really, you know, they were really on par with some plenty of adult shows I've seen. I think standouts include the woman, or the girl I mentioned a moment ago, who played the mother, Meredith Parker. She was played by Audrey Clyburn, who did just a phenomenal job.
Dang, Audrey, way to go.
Yeah.
Get plug-in on the NC Theater Stories podcast. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, she did a really, really great job, and her voice is just she's just a beautiful singer, and she did a great job with the you know, it was sort of a more emotional role, without giving away too much. Also, the Bat Boy himself, who was played by, you know, I really should, okay, let me see if there's...
Was he like physically here deformed? Nope. Like, as the actor that portrayed... Not, like, was the actor physically deformed? What, did the Elephant Man play Bat Boy? Because he's still alive? No, I'm just kidding.
No, the actor playing...
Did he have makeup on? Like,
Yeah. Okay. He had to have, like, little, you know, pointed ears and some fangs.
So which half of him was
shaved
Bat?
Head. What?
Which half of him was Bat?
Well, he didn't really, like, have any... Like, he had pointed ears and he had fangs... Which, I'm not even sure all bats have fangs, but he had fangs. He didn't have wings or anything. He was a...
Did he fly? He didn't have wings.
No, but. Okay. Yes. Bat Boy was played by Parker Perry, who did not fly, but he had a beautiful tenor and a really, you know, just perfectly cast, just a terrific job in the show. He was able to play the comedy of it, and for the first half of the show, he has to sort of be this sort of animalistic feral child, and he really did a terrific job with that, and then transitioning into the sort of animalistic British man, which it's a funny joke, which is that he learned English from BBC tapes, so everyone else around him is based in West Virginia, everyone else has Southern accents, but he's speaking in this British accent.
The kid?
Yeah.
Huh.
Bat Boy.
Right.
He's like, I think he's got to be like 19, 17 or something. Like that.
That's interesting. He's a British bat.
Yes.
I feel like that's a joke.
You should come back to us when you think of that joke.
Okay, moving on. If you're gonna be playing like that today.
Should be mentioned is the actress playing Shelley Parker, Eden Bartholomew. God,
a what?
I don't know. she has way too many syllables for
what's her
last
first
name. Eden Bartholomew.
Bartholomew?
Why am I? Yeah, apparently that's how you spell Bartholomew.
Anyway, Eden, you did good. Eden? That's her first name?
Yes, Eden.
Nice job, Eden.
Yes, she did a really great job. She's, you know, again, beautiful voice. Other standouts include Oscar Sidmark, who played Dr. Thomas Parker, the husband of the wife, and the actor Dylan Renkin, who played the Sheriff Reynolds. This was, you know, it was a really, really great cast all throughout. There was a guy who, he gets a song, he plays a reverend, this kid plays a reverend at the opening of Act 2, and I have to mention him, so I'm making sure alright. He plays Reverend Billy Hightower, his name is Noah Anderson, and the second act was a giant leap forward in quality compared to the first act. It just, you know, the energy was just there, and it was a great, I think a big part of that had to do with Mr. Anderson's performance. He just, you know, brought a lot of energy with this performance. He did this big sort of Baptist church sort of singing performance.
Nice.
It was really, really well done. Great job.
Crowd going.
It should be noted the The costumes in this show were great as well. Batboy's costumes were great. It was a really impressive show. I will say that there's a point in which Batboy has to drink the blood of a rabbit, and nice. They use the fakest looking rabbit. They could easily used a real rabbit. Rabbits are not hard,
dude,
you know, to control
teen
creatures.
Show they can't be drinking live rabbit blood.
No, they don't have to use actual blood. I'm just saying that he could have been holding a rabbit, but you know that's a nitpick if anything.
Rabbits are very unpredictable.
Exactly. No, they're unpredictable and wildly violent creatures who are very difficult to control. they did a really great job in this show, and I have to say that
you have to.
I absolutely must say that the Raleigh Little Theater, they have huge balls, Little Theater. They this show starring teenagers had dealt with these subjects: rape, incest.
Stop talking because I can't stop laughing about rape and incest. Big balls, Little Theater. Come to Raleigh, Little Theater. Oh my gosh, the artistic director is going to be really pissed.
I mean, the show had rape, incest, violence.
Did the bat get raped?
Underage sex. No, there is a bat who does some raping.
This is sound like right now you're making it sound like this content is very adult.
It is not
teen. What were these teenagers doing with this content?
They were doing the show as it was written. I thought they were going to censor the heck out of it because I was somewhat aware of what the show had, the content of the show.
I had no idea that a bat got raped.
No, a bat does raping.
The bat is the rapist.
Yes.
What is that?
Multiple bats are raping.
That is rude.
I don't want to give away too much, but...
I'm not a bat activist, but, like, that's putting bat-tivist. Like, it's putting a really bad name out for other bats.
Well, you know...
I mean, they just eat, like, fruit flies and stuff.
Well, you know, the show had some very adult content. I did hear, like, one old man, like, in the lobby during the intermission being like, who had the idea to put these children in this show? What's funny is if, you know, all the violence and the you know, sexual content and blood and incest and bestiality.
Bestiality? Oh, because it's a bat.
Yeah, a bat has sex with a human.
Is that bestiality if you're an animal that actively seeks out fornicating
with
a human?
You know, I don't know if bestiality is based on the idea of whether or not the animal wants it or not. It's not like based on the consent of the animal.
That's another podcast.
With all this
incest,
if they had I don't want to give away. That's part of a plot twist. I don't want to give away.
Okay. Now I really want to see the show.
But if after all that, it was kind of okay. You know, it worked. You know, I don't think there were people who were upset. The show got a standing ovation at the end. I will say, if they had F-bombs, if there was swearing, people in North Carolina would be enraged. How dare you have children swear?
Yeah. That's not all. It's a teen show. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it makes sense that they only talk about violence, rape, and incest, but they can't say
Yeah. I'm just going to put a bleep word. Bleep
I said
in there.
Fart. Normally okay. I would
they
say,
can't
but
say
I
fart.
I said the F word the very first episode, mm-hmm. and yes. which you, like, provoked, by the way.
I'm going to give this 3.5 out of 5 bats. I'm voting on a bat-based system. Any criticisms I would have, I don't really need to harp on because obviously these are young performers who are just starting out, but really just amazing job these guys did.
I really want to see it now because of your review.
Yeah.
You had me at rape. Said no.
You
want to
re-say
ever.
It? You want to say it?
No, I don't really want to get into that. Speaking of, I need to talk to you. I'm just kidding.
All right. Well,
speaking
now,
of therapists.
Now, you got the chance to see, speaking of rape, remember when the United States raped this country and decided to take it over?
Good segue.
Well, years after seamless. The initial raping, and we'd already done a lot of genocide, we decided, hey, let's make it official. Let's put a ring
but
on
not
it.
Not enough. Not enough genocide.
Not,
still
never,
continued with that.
Our American Indian listeners
good
can
for
tune
ratings.
Out now.
We're going to get a lot of emails, maybe. Hopefully.
Well, yeah.
Guys, email
she's just
us.
Trying to encourage. She just wants more.
nctheaterstories@gmail.com.
All right.
.com.
Man, this is so unfocused. Okay. So you got a chance to see 1776, and
yes, I did.
Oh, actually, you know, I forgot. I wanted to mention Bat Boy's runtime because you know we're gonna tell people to actually come see the show.
And when the dates when you said runtime, right, I thought like how long the show was.
No, the show is happening July 15th through the 24th, and it is happening in their Gaddy Goodwin Teaching Theater, which should have been a first clue for me that this was a teen show. But it is at Raleigh Little Theater in Raleigh, North Carolina. Now let's talk about.
That's
all right.
Amazing.
Now let's talk about 1776.
I don't know, guys. I want to keep talking about Bat Boy.
Okay. Do you want to review Bat Boy now?
No, I don't.
What
anyway.
Did you think of Bat Boy?
Richard
Henry Lee, Virginia is my home. And may my horses turn to blue if I can't deliver unto you a resolution on independence.
The show I saw was 1776, which is a musical, although it doesn't say 1776 the musical like Bat Boy, so it's
just
it's
goes
implied
saying.
It's just yeah. implied obviously 1776 like you have to it's musical
yes
yeah.
It
why
very
wouldn't you think of that
for us
right Star Spangled Banner and stuff
that's the one song but yeah
mm-hmm. So it's a musical and it is happening at the Thalian Hall from July, it's going through July 24th. It started July 6th. So I didn't see it opening night like James saw Bat Boy on opening night. But July 6th through the 24th, you can go see 1776 at Thalian Hall in Wilmington, North Carolina. It's fantastic. It was very, very well done, which is totally on par for Thalian Hall. Like they never put on a show that's like not like just awesome. And
because you've seen so many shows there before.
I know, like Reputation. Exceeds my own reputation expectations.
I'm
like it totally does. Yeah, whatever. Well, you know. Anyway, I thought it was great. It was very. If you've seen 1776 clips of it or the actual 1776 that was on Broadway, it was just Tony Award winning musical on Broadway. They did a modern adaptation of it on Broadway, so it was like it wasn't people coming out in period costumes. You know, with the frills and the powdered wigs and all of that. It was a modern adaptation. The guy's coming out in business suits, looking very lawyerly.
Now, for those who aren't familiar with American history, what is 1776 about?
Congress. Our independence. It's the events preceding the signing of the Declaration of the Independence.
The Declaration of the Independence?
Of Independence, sorry. Okay.
Just adding a word in there.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mean to. It's the events and the decisions preceding the signing.
It sounds exciting.
It's yes. I don't want to like down it. Like it's really well done. It's fantastic. I will say it's like black coffee. It's like an acquired taste. Like you like cream and sugar in your coffee, or you just like it black. And I would say this is like black coffee. Like it's in my opinion, it's documentary style with music. Anyway, you distracted me. The Tony Award winning musical that they did, the rendition they did on Broadway was more, it was adapted for more like a modern audience. Mm-hmm. This one was it was closer to the actual book, you know, that was originally written. They stayed with, they had the period costumes. I don't think they did powdered wigs. Maybe they weren't actually powdered, but they definitely looked like you like were in a time machine and went all the way back to 1776. Like that's exactly they played the parts perfectly. The men that were on stage like held themselves like they would have back in the day, and the music also, like they used keyboards to initiate like the harpsichord sounds and the types of music that you would have heard, the tonalities that you would have heard in the music back in the day. They didn't try to like jazz it up to make it for a more modern audience. They stayed very true historically, and I appreciated that because I knew what I was going in to see. Mm-hmm. Like, with a title like 1776, you kind of know what you're getting into.
What was the set design like?
The set never changed. It was basically the interior of the room, like, where they, I don't know what it's actually called historically. Like, the Congress room, like, where all of the members of the Congress met. Right. It was just that room the entire time. There are a few scenes where they did, like, almost asides with the actors and different soliloquies, and they would just adjust the lighting to make it seem like, okay, the background is dim, we're not in the Congress Hall. Like, John Adams is now, like, writing to his wife in, like, the privacy of his own home or whatever, you know what I mean? And so they just use lighting to adjust the location if they needed to. But the actual set design, it was just Congress room, the interior, and which pretty much the entire show takes place inside, you know, the decisions being made by a bunch of squabbling politicians.
And things have changed so much since then. They don't squabble so much.
Oh, no, not at all. We all agree everything is fine. Like, we have cupcakes and, you know, everyone just hangs out and, like, has tea together and everyone agrees on everything. Yeah. It's right. Yeah.
And racism is over.
So. Right. but the show, it... Yeah, so where I appreciate it on an actor level, like, musically speaking, I will say it's not one of, it's not Hamilton, you know what I mean? It's not, like, a boom-in-your-face Hollywood big-budget type of thing, you know? Like, it's got more meat to it, and I don't want to say than Hamilton because I haven't seen the show, but it's factually heavy, and I appreciate that because I learned things. And I think if you take your family to go see this, if they have any knowledge of American history, this will only further cement it because nothing was really taken out of context. There are a few things, like, added and removed, but, like, it's still factually the same. It's accurate. And that was really cool to see. And, you know, like, it does have the harpsichord and stuff sounding in it. So you can tell it's dated, but it's kind of fun. It's like a fun little trip you can take and, you know, into the eyes of what that might have looked like back then. And the funny thing is it kind of looks like politics now. Just a bunch of old white guys fighting and struggling with the idea of kickball change.
So was there, was there rapping? There's no rapping in this?
No, there was no rapping. It's your conventional musical theater belting style voice. The takeaway that I had from this was I was convinced Russell Crowe was on stage. The guy that plays John Adams looks exactly like, maybe not exactly, his mannerisms, the way that he spoke, reminded me so much of Russell Crowe.
Oh, for his sake, he didn't sing like Russell Crowe.
No, he was a beautiful voice. Yeah, he was fantastic. What was his name? I'm looking right now. Don't call me out for that. The Courier, and who was Blaine Allen Maurer. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. He was probably my favorite part. Anytime, and it was a very minor part, and anytime this guy entered on stage as the Courier, he took control of the audience with no lines. Like, the first, like, two scenes he's in, he just, like, enters as the tired, exhausted Courier, just bringing news from George Washington to John Hancock. That's pretty much his role, obviously, as Courier. And he just enveloped, like, the whole idea of what a courier might look like, and you could tell, like, he was really there because no words, nothing, like, you just, as soon as he entered stage, my eyes went straight to him, and, like, he had me, and then all the way until he exits. Well, he comes out the last song of Act One. For me, that kid stole the show. Blaine stole the show just because of the emotion and just, like, the raw diligence that he displayed.
Wow.
As being the character of the Courier, which, to all my actor people out there, you can have a supporting role. You can be on stage a total of 3 times and still steal the show if you do it right and you really, like, you drive that character home and you make the audience feel something. That guy, Blaine Allen Maurer, you made me feel like that was great. Like, I threw my hands up. I was the one screaming Friday night, if you didn't hear me. Like, I was screaming so hard. Like, I was just like, this guy, what? Oh my goodness, he's just fantastic. Totally nailed it. But back to John Adams, who also totally nailed it. I'm looking for his name right now. I had it, like, cued. And I... Now I laugh. Anyway. He was great. The Russell Crowe guy. Oh, you're looking there. I was actually looking at his bio. So the two main characters are pretty much John Adams and Benjamin Franklin. They kind of, like, drive the show. Sam Robinson, John Adams. Awesome. Awesome job. Did a super-duper stellar, gave a super-duper stellar performance. And Benjamin Franklin also, he was he's been with Thalian Hall since, like, the beginning of time, like, since it opened. Tony Rivenbark. Anyway, yeah, I don't know him personally, so I don't know how to pronounce your name. But either way, Benjamin Franklin, John Adams, and the Courier, y'all were, like, my favorite parts of the show.
You got these names completely correct during rehearsal.
Yeah, totally, because we
rehearsed this so many times.
Definitely. But no, it's definitely worth seeing. Just, yeah, I appreciated the fact that it wasn't as, like, pomp and circumstance-y as Hamilton. They weren't trying to gain your attention with all of this, like, crazy awesome sets and, you know, like, hyped up dancing. It is what it is, and it was simple and true to its form, and I appreciated the heck out of it. And also, one of the guys, I can't remember, there was a black actor that played one of the congressmen.
They like to be called blackters.
Blackters, there was a black, right, that's kind of funny though, we should... Yeah, that guy, traditionally, like, that, you would have never seen that in Congress. And so I appreciated the fact that, like, Thalian Hall took a step out to kind of be like, yeah, this isn't traditional, and, like, we like doing that, you know? And so they kind of pushed the boundaries there, and that wasn't something that you would normally see in Congress, but, man, it played it out perfectly, and it was brilliant. It's great.
You don't happen to recall his name, do you?
No, I can't. Yeah. I don't even remember what state he was for. Do you remember, Georgia? New York? No. Oh, there were two! That's right, New York.
Oh,
the guy that was New York, that was a black guy, and then there was another one that was close to Boston.
It might have been the actor playing Lewis Morris from New York.
Yeah, the Maxwell Page. Yeah, there was another one too, though. But either way, like, that was just, I noticed that, and I thought that was very cool of Thalian Hall in general, just to, like, to do that.
Colorblind casting.
Yeah, I love that. And I think there's a note about it in the program, but as for the show itself, I'm super glad that I saw it, and I think that anyone who has an interest in American history would be very pleased with this, because it was historically accurate and it was fun, and there were some parts that were a little slow, but I think that's how it was written, because I think politics and acts that happen in Congress are sometimes dull and drab, and so they completely honed in on that.
Yeah, no, I'm imagining years from now, them like, trying to make the Affordable Care Act the musical. I don't think that would be any more entertaining. It's a lot of songs about website crashing.
I did have like a feminist moment where I was like, oh, this is great. I just paid money to go watch a show to have 20 white guys talk down to me. Like, because they're obviously like on an elevated stage.
Hey, there was
like,
one black guy though.
Oh, no, two. Two black guys. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
New York and, oh, geez, I can't remember. But anyway.
Yeah.
But it's definitely worth seeing.
Cool. You know, I'm actually, you know, I'd be curious to see the show, and unfortunately there are plenty of time, opportunities coming up, because the show is running
to the 24th,
wasn't it?
Yep. 24th, yes. Yeah.
So,
Sir-ree.
Hopefully I'll get a chance to catch it before the run.
Five ends. Tony Awards it was nominated for. Holy cow. It won three of them. That's amazing. This was in like the 70s, but yeah.
That is all kinds of baller.
That's super cool. It's a great... It's a great musical.
I wanted to mention before we move on that there are some stuff that's coming up in Fayetteville.
North Carolina.
We haven't betrayed Fayetteville, North Carolina.
North Carolina Theater. It's in the title.
What?
North Carolina.
Fayetteville, North Carolina?
Right.
Yeah, Fayetteville, North Carolina. That's redundant, of course.
Right,
No, I'm talking about Fayetteville, Arkansas. Fayetteville, Arkansas, there's some exciting shows.
There's a lot of Fayettevilles!
We haven't totally betrayed Fayetteville. On the 20th, and running from the running from the 20th to the 24th, the Gilbert Theater will be doing their Next Stage Play Festival. And that will be original productions, short plays written and directed by local directors and local writers. I think most of them are local writers. I'm not entirely sure about that part, but I do know that you pay like one fee and then you get to see. I believe the ticket is $16, and then you get a whole week worth of shows.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
that's like a lot of shows for $16.
I know.
Jeez.
I know. That's impressive.
And, I didn't mention the ticket price.
That's
$32 for tickets at Thalian Hall.
Cool.
It's definitely worth it.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, the ticket price for the Gilbert thing is $16. I think I mentioned earlier. I don't know if I mentioned earlier because I rarely mention ticket prices, but Bat Boy is $12, which is a crazy deal. Yeah. All right. Now, we're going to, in a moment, we're going to talk with somebody from the Charlotte Theater. I want to say that this, again, is in continuing our expansion of coverage in North Carolina, with North Carolina Theater Stories. We wanted to expand to talk about some theaters that are a little further away from us physically. The Actors Theater of Charlotte is one of North Carolina's most celebrated institutes for live theater. They've been in operation since 1989 and have somehow managed to create a working, successful, and wildly popular theater that does seasons made up entirely of new productions. They aren't doing 12 Angry Men for the 200th time.
Yay!
They took risks, huge, expensive risks, using equity actors and some of the best talent they could find.
Yay!
To put on shows that audiences had never even heard of before.
That makes me so happy.
For those who know theater, they know that a lot of shows a lot of their success tends to be based on the popularity of name recognition. And this theater decided, screw it, we're going to go ahead and we're going to give audiences something entirely new. Now, recently we learned that the Actors Theater of Charlotte had lost their venue, their home. And if they can't find a new one, that could mean the end of a decades-old institution. We got a chance to talk with Dan Shoemaker, the theater's executive director, and he's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on and what they're doing to try to fix that issue. This is your 27th season, and and everything's been going great. So what happened? What happened to the original venue?
Well, our original venue that we've occupied for the last 14 years, we found out back last July that the facility has been sold to make way for another series of apartments that seems to be, you know, the vogue in Charlotte right now. So we learned last July that we would need to vacate by the end of June. So we've been searching for our new home, and there's been some ups and downs along the way, but we had finally decided on a space, and we were exploring all the possibilities of the new space, and then complications arose with the funding and with the space itself. And so about 6 weeks ago, we had to move on. So since then, we've been exploring every opportunity that we can find in which to find a home, from existing space to new space that we can upfit.
So do you guys have a deadline for finding the new location?
Well, what we've told our subscription base, originally it was going to be December before we finished the upfit of the then existing space, and we were planning a season beginning in January. So in essence, we've got, you know, a few months in which to make that happen.
So what are the things that absolutely need in a new home?
Well, in a new home, that is, a new home that we can call our own, we would need about 12 to 15,000 square feet of raw space that we could convert into a theater.
Okay, so is there like, I'm guessing you're trying to maintain the same amount of seats that you had before?
Well, maybe a little bit more. Our theater seats around 200. We were looking to be able to find space that could accommodate at least 225 to 250, because prior to our moving, we were at about 80% of capacity. So we felt as if we could use the additional seating.
Oh wow!
So that's what we're working on right now, is trying to find space where we can essentially upfit to seating between 225 and 250.
You know, I'm curious. Now, as I mentioned in the introduction, your theater, you guys do original shows. How have you managed to be so successful with that sort of, doing just...
Well, I think the main reason that we've been successful in that regard is that we have held steadfast to our mission, mm-hmm. which is the presentation of bold and innovative new work. Mm-hmm. And as I say, we've held true to that mission since our very beginning. So as we've grown and aged, if you will, our audience has grown along with us. So I think that's been the success in that regard.
So is there a need for money? Can people donate?
Sure, always. Always. Whenever we were doing our original fundraising, we were about 200,000 short of hitting our goal that was necessary to upfit the then existing space that we were exploring. Mm. And even right now, that's a figure that we're looking at in our fundraising.
Mm. So, Have you guys planned your new season, or is that sort of taking a back seat at the time I try to find
it? We are looking at what that season might look like. Of course, a lot of it depends upon the space that we occupy. It would be very difficult to do a show like American Idiot in a small space. It right. just cries for expansion. So we're looking to see exactly where we're going to land in terms of the actual space, to see how we can fit into that space.
Yeah.
And we're looking at a space that will be our home, for the long term.
So, how are you looking, are you open to like a temporary space, like a some sort of maybe a museum might be able to put you guys up somewhere?
Well, we're looking at everything right now. We're existing space that we might could go into for a year while we're while we're fundraising for our own space. Mm-hmm. But it seems like every week there's a new space that's opening up. We'll get a call from someone that says, "I just found out about existing space over on such and such." Mm-hmm. So we drop everything and go check it out, and it may or may not be something that we want to consider. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the other week we're going somewhere looking at raw space. So we don't turn anything down until we've completely, explored it.
Yeah.
In size, in upfit, in parking, and, we're in an urban area, so parking is definitely something that people tend to be concerned about.
Yeah, definitely. I know when I've been to Charlotte, the parking is always the thing that I'm most concerned about finding when I'm driving around downtown Charlotte or uptown Charlotte. Well, so how's the community responded? Has there been a...
They've really responded fantastically, especially the arts community, with Facebook posts, with articles in the newspaper, with podcasts such as yours. There seems to be a lot of interest in that regard, and also from our current base of support, who was keenly interested in the next chapter.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure people are chomping at the bit, trying to make sure that you guys have your next season soon. Well,
That's exactly right.
Well, thank you so much for taking out the time to speak with me. I hope that someone hears this, and hopefully they have a space available for you guys, and hopefully we'll...
Yeah, what would be ideal would be if there's raw space that someone has that is looking for an arts organization or a theater company to come in and use that as a catalyst for development in the area, that would be ideal. But if anyone just wants to donate to our cause, you could go to our webpage, 8dcharlotte.org, and there's a donate link on our webpage.
We'll put a link to that on our website as well. Awesome. All right, well, take care.
Okay, thank you, sir.
The way we spell rowdy, rowdy.
Hey, we're back. Clearly, Ruth has been drinking. I'm joking. Of course, she never wasn't drinking.
But, anyway,
but
it was a
we
good interview.
We want to thank Dan Shoemaker for sitting down with me for that interview. Also, we would like to thank the Raleigh Little Theater, the Little Theater of Huge Balls.
Stop.
Which
great.
Allowed us to come see and review Bat Boy.
And Thalian Hall.
And
thank you.
Thalian Hall.
Who I can't wait to see more shows there.
We're just still out on what the size of the testicles of Thalian Hall are, but we will hopefully they will let us know soon.
Inappropriate.
That's incredibly inappropriate, but hey, we're still technically G-rated. None of those were swear words.
Right, it's very true. All
right, well, we want to thank you guys for listening, and encourage you to share the show, comment, write in, and we are on iTunes. I rarely mention this, but we are on iTunes, and you can go on iTunes, and hopefully you can post a review, a glowing review, or you can say terrible, negative, terrible things. That's cool, too, because,
about our podcast?
Yes.
Guys, you could also, write to us and tell us what you think.
Right, you can
that's
write to
super
us
fun.
At nctheaterstories.com.
The funnier,
gmail.com.
The better.
Theater spelled with an E-R.
E-R.
But yeah.
Right.
Now,
not French.
Now, I would definitely prefer you guys say positive things. However, because of the way I was raised, I have come to believe that even negative attention is attention, and
that's
therefore
very good.
Worth having.
Most so. Comics start that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure.
So,
Guys, we have so many emails to, dig through every week when we do this podcast. So, make your subject line super entertaining, very poignant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll
help us figure out which ones we should focus on first. Because we
also
have so many.
Also, I'm not super sure that Ruth knows the meaning of the word poignant.
Poignant.
So if you have the definition handy, be sure to email it to us at nctheaterstories@gmail.com.
I know how to spell it. It's poi. Poi. And then nat. G-N-A-T.
I have a feeling that even though this is a podcast and you can only hear it, you can probably tell that Ruth is blonde. Somehow I feel like...
I have red hair underneath the blonde.
Wow.
I'm lying.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But I do know how to spell poignant. I feel like you're the brain and I'm Pinky. I'm only here for your...
Nah!
moments.
I do feel I should point out that...
do you really feel like you should point it out?
Correct. That the show of Pinky and the Brain would not be nearly as entertaining without Pinky.
Yeah.
Brain probably would have succeeded in taking over the world.
No.
I'm just saying you're holding me back from taking over the world. Because
what does taking over the world have to do with wearing polka-dotted boxer shorts?
Brain was brain. He had his, no. his logic. He had his methods. Why are we talking? We're supposed to be wrapping this episode up.
We are totally wrapping it up. This is how we do. We do, boo-boo.
People should know. You should start tuning out when we stop talking about theater and start talking about late 90s cartoon shows.
If you think you would like to hear James and I just banter back and forth about random life topics, write us and let us know. Subject line, hashtag, James and Ruth banter.
Okay.
You have to put the hashtag in the subject line, otherwise it won't reach me.
All right, well,
well, nice and NC.
Thank you guys for listening, and please do tune in next week. It will be a very special, interesting, we're going to try something super incredibly different next week, and...
there will be whips and chains, people. Whips and chains.
I mean, if we can afford the chains... Whips, definitely. The chains, that's, I'm not even sure if that's in our budget.
I know people. I have friends in low places.
And nowhere else. All right.
That's true. Hashtag actor life.
Catch you guys next week. Take care.
For I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round, to be back where the boys all know.